Welcome to the second episode of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk about and talk to people who enjoy being on foil. And I'm Matt, living in Switzerland.
I'm Gael, living in Cyprus from Italy. And today we've got a special guest from...
Yes, the third in our round is Christian Müller. He's the president of the Swiss Foiling Federation, the vice president of Foil Mania Youth. He's a wing foiler and foil windsurfer. He's the founder and organizer of Engadin Wind and Engadin Snow. And I met him at the Swiss Championship of Pump Foiling in Wingelt, Lake of Biel. Chris, first of all, how should we call you and what else do we need to know about you?
So it depends a little bit. Hi, I'm Christian Müller, or Chriku, or Chris. Depends a little bit where I am. I'm out of Basel, living there since 20 years and organizing a lot of events, not only in Switzerland, but in whole Europe, and especially foiling events.
That's great. Yeah, that's why in the description, Matt repeated foil probably 10 times. Tell us about when you started with these events.
So actually, I founded the Engadin Snow or Engadin Wind event. I'm organizing these events since more than 25 years. And we started actually with Foil Mania Youth, with foiling 8 years ago in the Engadin, because we have perfect conditions, the wonderful lake, wonderful scenery, and not too strong winds, so perfect for foiling. And then 3 years ago, we founded the Foiling Federation, and it's not only about foiling, it's pump foiling, it's wing foiling, wind style, freestyle foiling. So that's what we do, and we try to organize that in different events, different tours. So it's all about foiling, flying over the water.
That is great. So you said that you started 25 years ago with organizing these events. It was a different time then, but there was no foil there, was there?
Yeah, actually, we started with fins. And then, the development came, and a couple of years ago, or many years ago, we started with foiling, first world championship in windsurfing, foil style, actually. And then we created all these different events with different styles. And at the moment, actually, it's pretty good because we can combine. If it's windy, we go wing foiling. And if there is no wind, we go pump foiling. And that's a perfect combination for all these events.
Yeah, that's a real big plus. You told us about the Foil Mania Youth. What is that exactly?
Yeah, we founded a couple of years ago an organization, and we support all our youngsters, especially in Switzerland. We have a lot of good wing foilers, pump foilers in Switzerland, and we started to organize camps. So we educate them how to foil, how to wing foil, how to pump foil. And then out of that, we created this Swiss tour, the Big Wave Swiss Tour, and that's all over Switzerland in different parts. And we still do weekends or Wednesday afternoon in different lakes. And we educate the kids, actually. And they're from 6-7 years old up to 18, already almost pros. But that's fun to work with all these kids.
That's great. I wish it was everywhere like this. It's only a Swiss thing to have this culture and to educate kids around pump foiling. And when did you start teaching pump foiling to young kids, making these events, and how did you have this idea?
Yeah, I organized always these big events like World Championship, European Championship in different disciplines, fin windsurfing, and then for sure IQ foiling. And it's important that our kids not only watching TV or playing PlayStation. So for me, it's important that they try to get out, to get on the water especially, and not only playing football or floorball or all these other sports. So when I started in 79 with windsurfing, we were also kids together, a crew together, and we traveled a lot around the world, and that was always fun. And Now I try to bring that back, not only in Switzerland. Next camp is actually in Sardinia, so we have also Italian people there and people from Germany, mostly families. They come with their kids, and we try to give them good vibes.
I can imagine it being more difficult to find kids who want to foil or be on the water and not play football. How do you find youngsters who want to do that? Is it just like old friends of yours who have kids themselves who think, yeah, I need to do that too? Or how do you find them?
Actually, my kids are already 24 and 22. One is a professional hockey player, and my girl is a almost professional floorball player. But for sure, they all do windsurfing, they do foiling. And how I find all these kids, I mean, if you go to the lakes, you find them. They are around. And if you show them how to foil and how fun that is to be on the water, be out in the nature, I think it's not that difficult to find them. So we don't go to the soccer field and tell them, hey, come to the water. We just go to the lakes, we go to the sea, and there are a lot of kids out there, and we just try to teach them how to have fun actually on the water.
For sure. You scrape leads in your environment. You don't go somewhere else to find them, for sure.
Right now you're at the Lake Geneva, right?
At the moment I'm at Lake Geneva. There's the next event. It's the European Freestyle Pro Tour. We're waiting for the winds. There were like super nice conditions yesterday, but at the moment it's not super good. So we are waiting for the wind.
There's so many different events I found. Like last weekend, for example, there was only on the Lake of Neuchâtel. There was your event. Maybe you can talk about that later on. There was the King of the Lake. And I was actually in the north, in Saint-Blaise. There was another wing foil event. So three events on the same lake. The week before, it was two events, even in the same city. How is that? Why is that not better organized?
I mean, that's actually a big topic, because there are so many events around all over Switzerland. I mean, there are shop test weekends. We do the Swiss tour. Then there are different sports, actually. So we also have to check if there's not an IQ foil event, because most of the IQ foil kids, they do also wing foiling and then palm foiling. And my goal is actually to have not too many events, but good events and bigger events. I mean, I organizing all these really big events like on TV, world championship, stuff like that. And then we do the grassroots events, so the base with the Swiss tour. And in between, we have to create new or a little bit bigger events in between these two steps. And hopefully, I mean, it's a call to the industry that everybody is there, that you can test all this material, the pump foils, the wing foils, the windsurf foils, and not to go every weekend to a different lake, or actually two or three different lakes. Combine that and create, we tried to create like three, four little bit bigger events, one in Sambles, in Murten. You need the locations as well. It's not that easy. You cannot go everywhere, and combine that all together to kind of bigger water sport festivals. Let's call it water sports festival.
And it makes a lot of sense, because usually, well, in fall it's a little bit better, but usually in Switzerland, except for a few lakes, often there's no wind. So the event that I went in Saint-Blaise, if there wouldn't have had any wind, then there wouldn't have been anything. On the other hand, on the King of the Lake, it was the palm foil event, which was set on that day. So that's a bit, it's not that good. Plus, there was an IQ event. There was an IQ regatta in Neuchâtel. So even a fourth event.
No. I traveled all over Switzerland, because I went to Saint-Blaise, then I went down to Yvonneau to check the boys and girls on the lake from the Swiss tour. And then on the way back, I passed to Port Alban, to the Swiss championship of the Kiters. So that's how it is at the moment, but hopefully we can do that better in the future.
I guess it's kind of complicated organizing such a big event. And I guess that you have a huge networking behind you. But my question is maybe a kind of a technical question, but where do you start to organize such events?
I mean, it was my passion, windsurfing and afterwards wingfoiling. And also, I organize also winter sport events, skiing, snowboarding events. So it was actually, it was not really my profession because I'm not a pro, was never good enough. But I was into all these different competition. And for me, it was always super important when I went to an event as an athlete that they are well organized and professional organized. And out of that, I came to a conclusion. So why should I not organize events? Because in the past, I was in the marketing worldwide for a snowboard company. I did the product placement, product management and the marketing. And then I was running the ISF, the good old ISF, International Snowboard Federation. That was the federation before FIS. So I run the whole world tour. And out of that, I saw the industry, I saw the federations, and I was an athlete. So I made actually the decision to start organizing events. And then I just started somewhere, not with a small event. I directly organized like a World Cup, but it worked out. And I'm doing that since 25 years now.
Wow. And it really feels like you're really good at it. When I was in Vingles there, you had your van there. There was good vibes, music, and it really, I felt very welcome. It was my first ever event like that. So that, well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, but that's so important. I mean, if you come to an event and there is nothing, there is no atmosphere, there is no speaker, there is no music, why you go again to an event like that? So you need a good atmosphere, you need a good feeling with the athletes. And as I said, I mean, if it's well organized, professional organized, then it makes makes fun. Then it's cool for the athletes. And then you come back to the next year or to the next event, and that's the goal. And yeah, I mean, if you organize bigger events, then it's not that difficult to organize a Swiss tour event in Vingles or in Murten or in San Blas or in Silvaplana, but that's my job and I do my best.
So now you're kind of like my idol because you're not only foiling and whatnot, but also snowboarding and you're into marketing. So we have so many things in common and I can't wait to meet you in person. And if you can tell us, I'm pretty sure that you have a pretty full schedule of events in the following period. So you can, if you want, share some dates.
I mean, actually the next, I mean, how we are organized, we start like in April and then we are first in the south because there it's warmer and then we come up to the like center of Switzerland and then in the French part of Switzerland as well. Then we have a short break in summer holidays and then afterwards we continue in Vingles, now it's Geneva, and then we go to the southern part, so then we do all these camps, and then right after that it's October already, and then hopefully it starts to snow and then I can start organizing all the winter events again. And I mean, all the dates we try to organize all these different tours because there is IQ foil, there is windsurfing, there is pumping, there is wingfoiling, and it's not only national tours, but also international tours around. So if there is an international event somewhere on the globe, you won't have the top riders in Switzerland. And to organize that or to combine all these different tours, that's not easy all the time.
Can imagine. You told us about you doing it that long, what you did, but maybe you can tell us about yourself, you as a person. How did you get into the water sports, the windsurfing, and then what made you change to winging, to being on foil?
Okay, I mean, I told you already I started in 79 when I was 9 years old, holidays in Lanzarote with my parents, and there was a windsurfing school. So I tried that, and it was was just the best sport in the world for me. I mean, I studied sport. I did a lot of different sports, skiing, rowing, tennis. I mean, I did almost all the sports on a certain level, but windsurfing went never boring. That's the best sport because you have nature, always different kind of conditions, strong wind, big waves, and so on. And then, as I said, maybe 8-9 years ago, the first guys, or I mean, foiling, it's older than 8-9 years, but I came into that and saw some interesting people around, like Balz Müller, and then I just tried at the very beginning with foiling. And for me, it was a new experience because in windsurfing, I have a certain level. And I'm not the youngest guy, so I just keep that level. But in wing foiling, I learned every day new moves, new tricks. Then I started to jump, and that was exactly the same experience I had like 30 years ago. So that's why I do a lot of wing foiling at the moment. And if the conditions are perfect, if you have, not in Switzerland, but if you have waves, good winds, then we go windsurfing for sure, because that's still the best sport in the world.
So do you do windsurf? Do you wind foil as well? Are you on a windsurfer using the foil as well, or are you staying on the fin?
Yeah, exactly. I started actually wind foiling on the windsurf foil board, first with a bigger board and then directly into the smaller one. I tried to freestyle a little bit. But then after maybe 1 or 2 years, I started with this new thing. It was new at that, not new at that time, but for me it was new. And then I started wing foiling. And if you a good windsurfer, if you can foil already on a windsurf board, then it's super easy to learn wing foiling within 1 or 2 days. You're on the foil, you can try or do your first chipes, and then the fun starts.
It was the same with me. Yeah, I had the same experience. A little younger, not that much, but I had the same thing. I did windsurfing, tried some wind foiling, did some kite surfing, kite foiling, and then the switch to wing foiling was super easy. And I just love it that it's so much lighter. Everything is lighter than the heavy gear.
And that's one reason. And if you travel a lot, I mean, it's so easy. You have one board bag, you have two boards in there, and maybe three wings, and then another hockey bag with all the foils in there, and then you can travel everywhere. And in the past, you had a triple board bag, like 100 kilos, and then all these sails and masts and so on. That's also a big advantage if you travel around. And it's lighter, it's easier, and as I said, it's a new experience, and that makes it so interesting for me.
But do you still bring your windsurfing gear with you when you go somewhere? Because you said it's still the best thing.
For sure. But if I go to Lac de Bienne, I don't take windsurf gear with me. Then I'll bring the wing foil. But if I travel to Mauritius, or if I have the chance to go to Maui, then for sure I'll take my windsurf gear with me, yes, for sure.
But to Sardinia in October, where you go, you take your things, everything with you?
Actually, I travel with my Fiat Panda. That's one of my cars. So I travel with the Fiat Panda to Sardinia. So I'll take only the wing foil gear with me, but I have a lot of friends down there with windsurf gear. And if the Mistral is blowing strong, I definitely go to the west and ride some waves with the windsurf stuff. Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to ask you a question, because you said that the transition from windsurfing and wind foiling to wing foiling was pretty easy, but was it the same to bump foiling? Because usually it's not the same.
No, it's different. And I mean, I'm not really a good pump foiler. I don't know why, because if I'm on the wing and I still not really manage to start from all the docks, and that's super hard. I don't have the time to train a lot, because some guys are saying you need like 500 or like 700 starts to get into that. And then afterwards, like the pump foiling, that's more easy for me, because if I can start with the wing and then release the wing and pump foil with the wing together, I manage to do that. But to start from a dock or somewhere from a rock, that's still a mystery for me. So I'm not able to do that. So I'm still working on that, and it's different.
Let's talk about pump foiling. This Swiss Championship where we met, for me, it was incredible to see the youngsters, the kids. It seemed like they could be on foil forever, like eternal glide. How is that for you? Did that change at all in the last couple of months, years? Well, it's not that old yet, but how do you see the whole, how it changes?
I mean, development is incredible. We started 3 years ago, and at the very beginning, we saw a couple of guys pumping on the foil, and then we created all these courses, these obstacles. And I had always in my mind to do once a freestyle event, and we managed to do this at the Swiss Championship. It was the first ever freestyle pump foil, whatever contest. And it was incredible, because these young kids, they're so light. They fly on that board forever. They do tricks, not only one trick, they do like 10 in a row and still foiling. So I think it's a little bit more difficult for the heavy guys, but we saw also some really strong guys on the foil, and development is incredible. I mean, they do already jumps and continued with the pump foil, and I mean, this combination we saw from the young kids, I mean, it's crazy what they do.
For example, Matteo, he would do this one and then the other, and he jumped on his knees, on his belly, on his knees, on the foot. It never stopped. That was crazy.
I mean, Matteo, he was in Sardinia last year at the camp, and then he did like, I don't know how many times, like 12 or 14 combination, and continued with pumping. And we filmed that, and it was kind of world's first ever, I mean, combination. And I mean, he improved a lot. He's light and he's so talented, this kid, Matteo von Rohl. So he's a big talent in pump foiling.
And there was a couple of guys with foot straps. They wanted to do backflips. Have you ever seen a backflip done? And when they continued foiling?
Behind the boat, yes. They do,
yes, obviously.
Incredible tricks already, but just pump foiling, backflip, and continue. No, I have never seen that.
But that's just a matter of time. I mean, it could be next year that we see that already.
No, in a month.
Don't think so.
No, in a month you will see that. I mean, for sure.
There was even the guy who jumped over this buoy. Yeah. I don't know how high it was. The picture is phenomenal. How high was that?
I mean, they jumped now 1 meter. And I mean, the buoy was like 50 centimeters. He jumped higher than the buoy, easy. And I mean, they jump high, they do tricks, they do flips. It's incredible, the development of pump foiling.
And that was the freestyle too. Then we have the speed races. I was part of that, but you know, comfortably cruising along, and they were super fast. They had this 700 square centimeter front foils. I cannot imagine how you can foil with those.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little bit, if you do these time trails, the speedy events, it's actually a power event. And if you can fly like a 700, 800 foil, then you're always faster than with like 2000. And they started to take smaller foils and smaller stabs, and they're super fast at the moment. But like the speed event, that's a matter of which foil you can pump, and then you're the fastest on the lake. And that's not for beginners for sure. But you have a certain level, you start to get faster and quicker. And then we have these obstacles with marks. You have to go around. We have an obstacle. It's like a bar, and you have to go underneath. So it's also technical elements in this speed contest as well.
There was a team event as well. I wasn't there at that moment. Can you talk us through how did that go?
It's actually my favorite discipline, because we started to think about what is interesting, and if there's only one guy and he's missing the start or making mistakes at the first mark, then he's out of the contest. But if you have a team, it's pretty simple. You have a team with three friends, and the first one starts to pump around this course, what first mark, obstacle, second mark, and then back to the dock. Or you can do two tours, and as soon as you have a crash, your body can start. And then we just count the points. So if you go to the first mark, it's 1 point. And if you go under the bar, second point, and so on. And at the end of the day, it's a time limit. It's like normally 4 minutes. And then we just count the points, and the team with the most points is the winner team.
That is so cool. I thought about, would it be possible to do like a long distance thing? But then I realized that if people are pumping for 4 hours, 5 hours, that's not that interesting.
Yeah, it's super hard for the commentator, for the speaker, if he has to talk for 4 hours and some guys are out on the water and coming back after 2 hours. I mean, I think long distance is more a matter of like world records and how long you can pump. But for a contest, it has to be close to the shore. Everybody can see it and make it short. 4 minutes. One round or a freestyle event, which exists, like we had like a 1 hour window and everybody just showed their skills. And after 1 hour, you have a winner. And that's interesting. But if you're on the lake long distance for 2 or 3 hours, different thing.
For sure. I wanted to ask you on this note, what do you see foiling in the future, especially pump foiling, becoming like a more recognized sport? Because right now it's still a niche. Yes, you're organizing your events, but what do you see in the future?
Oh, I see a big future for pump foiling. So I know that probably wing foiling will be an Olympic sport in 32 in Brisbane in Australia. And then I immediately came up, why not pump foiling? I mean, imagine if you have a skate event with a park and just beside a pool, and you do pump foiling events. Why not? I mean, the future and the development, what's going on the market, these all these different foils and boards and so on. So it is a big, big trend at the moment, but this trend will go on for the next years. And hopefully it will stay, because you can do it everywhere on all the lakes. And I think it's pump foiling has a big future, yes.
Do you think it has more future than winging?
It's a perfect combination. I mean, if it's windy, you go wing foiling. And if there's no wind, you take out your smaller board, you change the foil, and then you go pump foiling. So at the moment, in Switzerland, I can only talk about Switzerland. Sometimes you have like 20 up to 30 competitors on a wing foil event. I mean, nationals, not on the internationals. On the international, we have definitely more. And I mean, the pump foil event in Murten, we had more than, I think, 65 competitors. So it's growing, and we have already more competitors than in wing foiling. And I went to the Swiss Championship in kiting. I was organizing the Swiss Championship in windsurfing. We had 45 competitors in windsurfing and 30 competitors in kiting. And at the Swiss Championship in Wingles, unofficial Swiss Championship in Wingles, we had more than 50 competitors there. So that's maybe a sign.
So you talked about Murten, which is kind of a big event. Where, if someone who's listening, who wants to take part, where can we find information about that?
I mean, about the tour, it's swissfoiling.ch. You can find all the dates and the events on the webpage. And I worked, actually, the last weeks hard on the new calendar of next year. So in 2 weeks, we're going to have the new dates for next year already. And most of these interesting lakes like Murten, San Blas, Bien, Silva Plana, they're on the calendar again. And I'll come up also with two new bigger events, like a combination crossover thing with windsurfing, wing foiling and pump foiling. And not somewhere on the lakes in the city. So one event will be in St. Moritz. The next one will be in Bâle, in Basel. And the third one probably in Geneva. And it's a crossover event with different disciplines, different sports, and a lot of action and fun.
Definitely, we need to stay up to date with your events. When are you going to share this calendar, if you are going to share this calendar?
Yeah, I mean, it's on the webpage, as I said, swissfoiling.ch, and all the other events, the bigger ones, they have their own webpages. So engadinewind.com, engadinewing.com, and the snow event is engadinesnow.com. And the new ones, sooner or later, they will be online, for sure.
Great.
What I see a lot of people going to is downwinding. Have you ever tried it?
I tried it, but not on lakes. I was in Portugal and we tried to do some downwinders there. But as I said, not only paddling, I was with my wing, but I have this longer board, bigger foil. And then to do downwinder, it's just super nice.
Because I see, especially Lake of Neuchâtel, which is really good for that. You have your wind forecast 1 or maybe even 1.5 weeks before, where you can see, all right, it's going to be westerly winds or easterly winds, and there you can do downwinds on that lake. Is that a possible event as well, a downwinder on a Swiss lake?
Yes, for sure. We planned that actually during the wing foil European Championship in Silva Plana, but the wind was not that good and the waves were a little bit too small. But that's for sure on my list, to do sooner or later a downwinder event from, I don't know, Saint Blaise to Yverdon or something like this. And it's funny to see, I mean, all the friends or the athletes, I mean, they're all windsurfers or wing foilers. And now, at the moment, if it's windy, they all do these downwinders and don't go winging or windsurfing anymore. So it is a lot of fun, definitely.
And how about organizing events even in Europe? So you mentioned Sardinia. You, of course, mainly these events are in Switzerland, but you have other locations because you mentioned that you went to Mauritius, your Maui. So are you planning to organize events even abroad, even outside Switzerland or even outside Europe?
At the moment not, and Mauritius and Maui are more holiday trips with my family. But actually I founded the European Freestyle Pro Tour 2003, and then I coordinated the whole tour. So we went to Italy, to Denmark, to Portugal, so all over Europe actually. And I mean, for me at the moment, it's so cool to see what's going on Swiss lakes. So we don't have to travel that much. We don't have to go to all these other windy spots on our globe. We can do our sports in Switzerland. With the foil, everything is possible.
You talked about your friends, your people doing that sport. For me, what struck me, and I see that if people watching my videos, they're mostly guys. It's almost never a woman or a girl doing that. Is that, did you notice that too?
I mean, that's true. I mean, also in windsurfing, when you organize a freestyle, whatever, world championship, then you have always like 40 boys and maybe 10 girls. And it's exactly the same in wing foiling and in pump foiling, but in the last 3 years, in the first year, we had maybe one or two girls. And this year in Wingles, we had 6 girls at the start. So it's not only boys, the girls are always important, and they have to do events as well. And in the last year, it was like it was not possible to do a women category. And this year, I decided, yes, we're going to do it. And we had six girls in the Pomp Foil Swiss Championship, and that will grow in the next year for sure.
Why do you think that is? Why is that such disbalance?
I mean, that's everywhere in sports. I mean, if you look to figure skating, we have more women. If you look to dancing, also more women. But if you go to other sports, then it's always like a little disbalance that more boys are doing a sport than girls. And but I think it's important, and it should be equal also in the events, that you have an own category for women, that you have, if there is prize money, that you have the same prize money for men and women. And this should be the goal for the future. And in windsurfing, in wing foiling, in pomp foiling, it's still the fact that we have less women, but it's growing. And in the future, hopefully, we have more women than men.
I really hope so too. And I totally agree with you.
I see a big window for pomp foiling in that, because, I think that there is this probably misconception that you need to be strong to be a good windsurfer, a good wing foiler. But there is probably not this misconception for what concerns pomp foiling, because you are not again holding anything in your hands. You're not leaning on your sail or anything. So I think that there is more balance probably for what concerns pomp foiling between men and women. What do you think?
Yes, I mean, the best example are these young kids. I mean, some of them, they're like 8-9 years old. The weight is like 40 kilos. And these boys are more or less the best pumpers. So for the girls, I mean, it's perfect for the girls. Maybe they're a little bit afraid at the beginning.
All right, guys. Here we had some technical issues. The podcast stopped recording. We hope it won't happen again in the future. We still talked to Chris about women in sports, and he told us that it was about to change. A lot more girls are joining in, and for Vingles, for the freestyle pump foil championship, there was already a women's category, so he was sure that that was about to change. In the next episode, we're going to talk to Doré de Morcier. He's a wing foiler, pump foiler. He started wing foiling not long ago, and he's doing races already. He talks about these experiences, about gear, all about wing foiling and pump foiling. It's going to be on Guile's channel. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a shared playlist that you can just watch one episode after the other, or you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcast. See you in the next one.